ahead and begin focusing your prayers around the folks that we're praying for coming to a deeper understanding and knowledge of God and who he is. With that, let's go into Joshua chapter 1. So it's going to be on pages 301, 302 in the Pew Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, I encourage you to turn there because I'm just going to be going almost verse by verse through the section, and it will be good for you to have that as reference. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time that we have as we've worshiped you this morning. We've sang praise. We've remembered the reason that we're gathered together around the table. We give you all the glory and honor and praise for the plan of salvation that you've brought us into through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his death and resurrection for us. Be with us, Father, as we come to your word this morning. Help us to have an open mind and an open heart to hear what it is that you're leading us to understand this morning. Help us to, as we've read, to put obedience to you at the center of our lives. It's clear, God, that you have told us what to do. You've given us those instructions in your word. You have not called us to obey you, and then we have to muddle our way through and try to figure out what it is that you want us to do. You've given us clear directions. You've given us a clear picture of the kind of obedience that you want. And so I pray, God, that this morning, as we study your word, that you would give us the strength and courage that we're called upon to have so that we can hear your word and obey it and live lives that are fruitful and faithful before you. And Father, as we read, we know that historically this is about the your people going into the promised land, but Father, it reminds me about how we're called to go out into the world and to seek and save the lost. And so I pray, God, that you would give us the strength and the courage that we need to be able to go and claim new territory for you as we try to find those who are in need of a loving, saving relationship with you. And help us, Father, to find them and to help them identify with you through Jesus. Help us to love people enough to be willing to make sacrifices to go out and do that. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that he made for us. Not only is it the means by which we have salvation, but it's also an example for us. And I pray that we would learn from him in all things. And we offer this prayer in his name. Amen. So Joshua begins in a unique situation for the people. And Joshua kind of explains what's happening. But when the book begins, Moses is dead. And if we had been reading through the Bible up to this point, we realize that as Exodus begins, Moses comes on the scene. And then Moses is pretty well the central figure for the people of Israel for the next 40-some years. He's the key figure in Exodus, in Leviticus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, and now suddenly he's dead. So it's a new situation for the people of Israel, and they're going to have to find out how Joshua is going to be as a leader. And so the beginning part of the book of Joshua is setting the stage for the leadership of Joshua himself and how he's going to be the one to go forward and to take the people forward as they go. So Moses is dead, Joshua's in charge, and maybe the temptation is going to be that Joshua says, oh, well, I think I'm going to try this. I mean, Moses kind of wandered around for 40 years. He probably didn't have the best map, or he would have gotten us there quicker. And Joshua might decide that he's going to innovate on some things and try to figure out a better way of getting the people to where he thinks God wants them to be. Or maybe we'll read that Joshua is going to go out and poll the people and find out, what do you guys want? What do you guys think? What do you guys think that we should do? How should we get there? Why don't you tell me? Or maybe Joshua is going to go out and form a committee to help him find out, what are the top minds in Israel think that I should do? Who should I listen to? What kind of direction should I follow? Why don't you guys give me a plan, and I'll go talk to God about it and see what happens. See, these are things that obviously, as we've read here, are not going to be happening in Joshua. But they're things that happen in our churches. And so this morning, I want us to think about how it is that we decide what our churches should be about. How is it that we decide what our churches should do? Because a lot of times what happens is we identify a problem, or at least what we think is a problem, and then somebody says, well, I have an idea to address that. Or somebody says, well, my cousin's church had this problem and they did this to solve it. And so we bring in some kind of a new program. Or we look around at a situation that maybe isn't working as well as we would like it to, but it's worked in the past. So we retain things that aren't really helping us move forward because of some commitment that we have to the past. Or we find something that we have to do because somebody else wants to make sure that we keep doing it. And so we build our churches, not necessarily around even biblical things, but certainly not around what God tells us to do, but we build churches around what we think's worked in the past, what's working for somebody else, and the things that we want to do. Now, sometimes those are okay, sometimes they work and so on, but I want to look at this morning Joshua and what happened with him when he assumed leadership over the people of Israel, God's people, and how he began to lead them, because the book of Joshua is a book about the people taking possession and ownership of the promise of God. They're going to go into the promised land, and they're going to drive out the other nations that were there, and they're going to claim territory for themselves, and they're going to claim the promise that God gave to them. And we're going to see how Joshua, especially as we go through the book, but even here in chapter 1, in just the 9 verses that we read, we're going to see how Joshua led the people forward in a way that honored God and made sure that it was the things that God wanted that were the things that they did. So what's the first thing that we see? This one's obvious, but maybe it's subtle. The first thing that we see in Joshua is that it's God who led the people forward. Joshua did not, like I said, he did not form a committee. He did not poll the people. He did not decide to take the top 5 leadership traits from Moses and try to apply them in his own situation and then go out. In fact, we see in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, the key for the entire book of Joshua. I know I got verse 3 up there, I'm going to get to it, but I'm looking at verse 1 right now. And it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua. That's the key for the whole book. The whole book of Joshua is going to unfold along the lines of God said to Joshua, and Joshua then did. So the book begins, and it doesn't fool around with the idea that Joshua was not out there on his own. Joshua was not figuring it out on his own. Joshua did not do whatever it is that he wanted to do. Joshua heard from the Lord, and it's what he heard that became what he did. And part of what God told him is what we see in verse 3. God said to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. So the words of God to Joshua still are nothing new. And God is not innovating anything with Joshua. God is working squarely out of the promise that he gave to his people. And God is now saying to Joshua, even though Moses is gone, and he's gone. He's not going to be in any place that you can go and consult with him on this. He's gone, but you're here, and I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. I don't know if you know this, but he said that 3 times in 9 verses to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, because Joshua is now God's man. And God says to Joshua, when you go into the land, when you hear what I tell you to do and you go and do it, I will, God promises, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. So there's 2 layers of promise. God says, the promise I made to Moses is going to be carried through to you. Nothing new is going to happen. We're following that old trail of that old promise. But I'm making a new promise to you that I will be with you and I will give you the results of that promise that I gave to Moses. Because how many of us realize that sometimes when a situation changes and the facts on the ground change, sometimes we think that that precipitates a change in direction. But God says, with me and my people, there is no change of direction. We keep going forward based on the promises that I made. Because God says, I will be faithful to my promises. And let's not understate this point. Because I think we need to realize that when Moses, who has been God's point man for 40-some years, dies, even though they knew he was not going to be the one to take us into the promised land, but now he dies. So it's not even like he can't just send them on and say, and I'll wave at you as you cross over, because he's dead. How many of us realize that maybe for the people, there might have been a little bit of crisis at this point? Well, I know that God said that he's going to start working through Joshua now, but how do we know? Because we knew Moses. And I guess we knew Joshua because he was around from time to time. But we knew Moses. So how do we know that this is going to work out the way that we expect it to work out? So God says, I promise that I'm going to keep my promises. And through Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. So the first thing that we look at when we think about how do we decide what to do as God's people in this church is we have to recognize that it's God who leads us forward. And God's leading us forward based on his promises and in fulfillment of his promises. Now, how do we find out how God's leading us forward? Just like Joshua did, we listen to God and then we obey what we hear. And part of the problem is that sometimes, at least for some of us, maybe for many of us, we're not really that in tune with what God's saying. We don't understand what the words of God are. We have the words of God. But if we never spend any time with the words of God, how are we going to know what it is that God's saying for us to do? I'm going to address this a little bit later on, but I don't know if you caught this. In verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you might be careful to do what is in it. See, we read Joshua 1, verse 1, where it says, the Lord said to Joshua, and because it's in the Old Testament, and we've convinced ourselves that God works differently in the Old Testament than he does in the New Testament, that we assume that means God spoke audibly to Joshua. And yet, throughout the entire book of Joshua, though there is direct speech from God to Joshua, but God makes the understanding of his speech based upon an understanding of his word, of the written word that Joshua is told to meditate upon. And Joshua's leadership is built upon his understanding and grasp of the written word of God in the book of law that he's instructed over and over and over again to meditate upon day and night. And so what happens when we don't spend enough time with the word, and then we sit down to decide what is it that we're going to do in this church, we start making our own ideas about things because we don't have the foundation to draw from to say, you know what, God is leading us in this direction. I was reading in the Bible. I've really been focused on this passage, and I think God's drawing these points out, and this is the direction that I think we need to go in. If we don't have that word-based focus that comes according to Joshua, in fact, according to God, as he tells Joshua to meditate on it day and night. I mean, we're not going to hear God and be able to obey him if we dip into the Bible for 2 minutes every other day. God's telling Joshua, if you want to know what to do, it's not going to be enough to sit and wait for me to talk to you audibly, because I've told you what it is that you need to do, and it's in the book of the law. And if you will keep that book of the law as a ready companion with you, and if you will meditate on that day and night, and then be careful to actually do the things that you come to understand in it, then you will know what it is that I'm saying and how it is that you need to obey that. And so we can see what Joshua did. In verse 1, he hears the instruction from God, and in verses 10 and following, he begins to implement what he heard. Now, we could have read the whole chapter. I didn't read the whole chapter, but beginning in verse 10, Joshua goes and he calls the people to get ready, because in 3 days, we're going to go out and do what God told us to do. So he hears, and then he obeys. And one of the things that we have to really work on, I don't know, I'm having trouble with this today, is that when we look at obeying God, we have to recognize that doing God's work requires us to be strong and courageous for the vision that he gives. Now, maybe you noticed as I was reading through this, or when I mentioned the comment, but 3 times in 9 verses, Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. And he's not told to be strong and courageous in a vacuum. Like, hey, Joshua, if you just get the inner resolve to go out and be a leader and figure it out for yourself and go talk to the people and find out what they want and then give it to them. If you just get the inner resolve, Joshua, to do that, then everything's going to be fine. He's told to be strong and courageous in executing God's vision for what God has told Joshua to do. Because it's a bold thing. It's a big thing. They're on the edge of the promised land. And they know full well that there's other nations that live in the land that God said, this is your land. But there's other nations. And they're going to have to cross over, and they're going to have to do some hard things. And they're going to have to be committed to doing these things, because they can't start and then bail out and come back and say, God, no, we don't want what you promised for us to have, because we don't want to put the work in. So they're going to have to be committed to the work. And doing God's work requires strength and courage towards God's vision. And again, we can't know what God's vision is for his people if we're not ever reading his word. Because in his word, he maps out for us what his vision is, what he wants his church to do, what he wants his church to be. And when we understand that, we have to have strength and courage for God's vision. Not for the things that we want to do, not even for the things that we like, but for the vision that God has. You know, as Joshua in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. God says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And then back to back, be strong and very courageous. God tells Joshua what he needs to be strong and courageous for. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. So God tells Joshua, there's a promise that I made. But you are going to be the one to take them into the fulfillment of that promise. Now, I don't know about you. I'd be nervous. Probably a little bit reluctant. I'd be thinking back to all the times that Moses had to call the people out for their disobedience, for their hard hearts. All those times that God was angry with the people and Moses was worried about how that was going to affect him and affect God with the people and so on. And Joshua's realizing these people don't always like to do what God tells them to do. And so God reminds him, look, the only thing I'm asking you to do is to keep moving along the path of promise that I gave. That's all you're doing. Is helping the people fulfill the promise that I gave, but you need to be strong and courageous, and in some cases, be strong and very courageous. Because it takes strength to stay committed to the work that God wants us to do, and it takes courage a lot of times to step out to do that work that God wants us to do. If God wants us to try to evangelize some people, how many of us would be a little uncomfortable with that? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to find them. I don't know what to do if they start talking. I don't know how to answer the questions they have. So it's no wonder that God says, be strong and very courageous. But we find out also that doing God's work requires obedience. If we hear the work that God has for us to do, and we just say, well, that's a nice plan, I sure hope somebody else does it, it's not going to get accomplished. And so Joshua was told in verses 7 and 8 to be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And then we read this verse, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So God lays out the plan for Joshua to follow. And the plan is based in obedience to the actual word of God. When God tells Joshua, do not turn either to the right or to the left, what he's telling Joshua is, the path is made clear in the word. And he's saying, don't decide that you can figure out a better way. Don't decide that you think you can take a shortcut. Don't decide that you think you know better than what the word says. Don't turn to the right or to the left, but keep walking with what you have so that you can be successful wherever you go. See, twice in these two verses, God tells Joshua how they can be prosperous and successful. And both of them are based on being obedient to the word that God gives. Not to their interpretation of the word that God gives, not to their self-proclaimed ideas, but to the actual word itself. And when they're obedient to that, God says, you will be prosperous and successful. But again, obedience requires us to know what God's word is. So when God tells Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful, he's told Joshua exactly how to do this. And it's not by, hey, think about what Moses did that worked and then copy that. And he didn't say, go and find out what's working among these other nations that's in there so that you can replicate that when you go into the land. And he didn't tell Joshua to go talk to somebody else and figure it out that way. He told Joshua, if you take the book that I gave you and you internalize it through constant meditation, you will know what to do. And if you then go and do it, then you'll be successful. Now I want to make a key point, because he doesn't, and maybe I miswrote the slide here, because what God is looking for is not just somebody that internalized his word, but he's looking for somebody who internalized it so that they'll be obedient to it. Because what if Joshua had said, okay, God, I've got your word on lock. I've got the book memorized. I know it inside and out. I talk about it every night with whoever wants to come and hang out outside my tent. And I know it inside and out. God would say, well, so what? Because how are you following that word? How are you doing that word? He says, so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. So leadership for God to Joshua comes down to Joshua's ability to hear what God says by meditating regularly upon his word and then doing it. And God says the success comes in the obedience, but the obedience comes through knowing the word. We can't be obedient to something that we don't know. And so we find that what God's telling Joshua is that he leads forward by his word and by prayer. I mean, that's what he's been telling Joshua. Meditate on the word. And when we read that God said something to Joshua, I think we need to assume a context of prayer. But God's telling Joshua, you're taking my people and you're taking them into the promised land, and there's going to be conflict, and there's going to be problems, and it's going to be a brand new situation, and it looks daunting, and it looks hard, and it's going to be challenging, but how do we confront that? How do we face that? It's not by learning some new technique or adding some new program or some new mission or something. God says the word and prayer will guide you forward. Which again we see in the New Testament. When the early church in the book of Acts was struggling with some issues in chapter 6, there was some racial tension, some ethnic tension in the church. And some folks believed that they were not being served their allotment of food that they needed or that they were owed. And so they went to the apostles and complained about their issue. And the apostles, if they wanted to be the types of people that wanted to hear complaints and then do something based on complaints, would have said, well, let's go out and find out why that's happening, and let's create a new ministry and a new program, and let's separate the two groups, and let's make sure everyone's got what they need, and let's handle that. But the apostles said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So the apostles said, it's not right for, in this case, the apostles said, it's not right for us to serve those people who are coming with the complaints. Because if we did, as we go on to see, if we did, it would take away the priority that we need to have on prayer and the ministry of the word. Because the apostles knew that the only way they were going to be able to continue to guide God's people forward was through prayer and the word. Not by creating a new program, not by creating a new ministry, not even by calling folks in for mediation. They had to stay committed to prayer and the word. And so they asked the church, find 7 men who are full of the spirit and wisdom, and we'll have them handle the problem so that we can stay committed to prayer and the ministry of the word. It's the same through both testaments. God leads forward by his word and by prayer. And we can try to innovate all that we want. We can try to find new ways of doing things. We can find out what's worked for other churches and try to implement that here. We can hold on to anything that we've done in the past that we think worked or still works or we liked or whatever the case may be. But God calls us to move forward by seeking his will through his word and by confirming it in prayer. It's how we led Joshua. It's how we led Moses. It's how we led Abraham. It's how we led all through the Old Testament. It's how he leads in the New Testament. It's how he leads in his church. And so we can walk the path of trying to figure it out and doing what everybody likes, and nobody's ever happy because there's too much going on, or whatever the case may be. Or we can say, what does God want for this church? Well, the example that he gives in Scripture is that we get committed to knowing his word, obeying it, and praying, and we keep running that cycle. And through that cycle of word, obedience, and prayer, God's will continues to be made known and clarified, and we keep walking forward on that path. It almost sounds too simple when we say that. And I wonder if we think it sounds too simple because we know that it's actually a more difficult path. It's easy. I've been working with churches almost 20 years now. It's easy to just develop a new program, a new ministry, a new angle on something. It's hard to commit ourselves to knowing the word, being obedient to what we learn, and staying committed to prayer. That's a lot harder than adding a new program. But God doesn't call us to walk an easy path. He calls us to walk a faithful path. And he lays out for us what we ought to do. So I want to encourage us, I'm going to pray about this in just a minute, but I want to encourage us to begin asking these questions about what does God want for this church? But don't answer that question until you find an answer in his word that you've prayed about and that you've even sought to be obedient to, at least in your own life. And then when we know what God's direction is in his word, and we've actually been obeying it and we've been praying about it, I believe that we'll begin to see some traction behind that, because we'll be doing God's things in God's ways. And that's the way forward for God's churches, to stay committed to the word, to obedience, and to prayer. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you again for this time. I ask that the message this morning was communicated in a way that helps us to realize the simple difficulty of the task that you've given to us. For some of us, God, we need to make a major overhaul in the way that we think about you and what our commitment levels are, in order to become people that would say, I'm going to take your word and meditate on it day and night until I know it inside and out and I can obey it. For others of us, God, we're further along that path. But probably every single one of us here, God, if we're honest before you, could say that we prefer to bring our own ideas into play when we think about what is it that you want for us, rather than letting your will emerge from your word. And so I ask, God, this morning that you would give us the strength and the courage to repent from trying to impose our own ideas upon your church, and then give us the strength and courage to say, I'm going to go back to your word and let you teach us out of your word and out of our obedience to it what it is that you want us to do as your church. May we be faithful to you. May we always be seeking you through your word and in worship. May we be guided by you at all times to become a stronger church who fulfills the purposes that you give to us in Scripture. Help us to do what you want us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.